Vatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 30, Further Features of Ecstatic Love for Krishna. Verse 24166. From the 10th canto. These footprints of that special gopi greatly disturb us. Of all the gopis, she alone was taken away to a secluded place, where she is enjoying the lips of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.30.30. Srila Prabhupada. In the 10th canto, 30th chapter, verse 30 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the following statement. When the gopis were searching for Krishna and Radha after the rasa dance, they thus began to speak among themselves. We have seen the footprints of Radha and Krishna on the ground of Vrindavan, and they are giving us great pain, because although Krishna is everything to us, that girl is so cunning that she has taken him away alone and is enjoying his kissing without sharing him with us. This is another instance of envy of the good fortune of Srimati Radharani. 24167. Envy arising from increase of good qualities. Balaram's team thinks itself strong and able to defeat our team with Krishna on our side. But is there anyone weaker than Balaram's team in this world? Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes when the cowherd boys used to play in the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna would play on one side and Balaram would play on another. There would be competition and mock fighting between the two parties. And when Krishna's party was defeated by Balaram, the boys would say, if Balaram's party remains victorious, then who in the world can be weaker than ourselves? This is another instance of envy in ecstatic love. Chapalam, insolence, means inconsiderateness of the heart arising from attraction or repulsion. In this state, lack of judgment, rough words, and careless action occur. Chapalya, arising from attachment. 24169. O unconquerable one, tomorrow, when my marriage ceremony is about to begin, you should arrive unseen in Vidarbha and surround yourself with the leaders of your army. Then crush the forces of Chaidya and Maghendra and marry me in the Rakshasa style, winning me with your valor. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:52-41. Srila Prabhupada, impudence. In the 10th canto, 52nd chapter, verse 41 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Rukmini addresses a letter to Krishna as follows. My dear unconquerable Krishna, my marriage day is fixed for tomorrow. I request that you come to the city of Vidarbha without advertising yourself. Then have your soldiers and commanders suddenly surround and defeat all the strength of the king of Magadha. And by thus adopting the methods of the demons, please kidnap and marry me. According to the Vedic system, there are 8 kinds of marriages, one of which is called Rakshasa Vivaha. Rakshasa Vivaha refers to kidnapping a girl and marrying her by force. This is considered to be a demoniac method. When Rukmini was going to be married to Shishupal by the choice of her elder brother, she wrote the above letter to Krishna requesting him to kidnap her. This is an instance of impudence and ecstatic love for Krishna, right? Because she's not caring for, you know, the other members, the other relatives and all that. She just is saying, you know, you come in, you defeat them, then, you know, you take me away, and this way we'll be married.
Actually, the word looks so like Rakshasa, but this is generally tech means. The Kshatriyas apply this.
Yes, it's only Kshatriyas who use it. Means, how you say, Brahmins wouldn't use it. You know, but it's not that they couldn't, but they just don't, you know, because how are they going to come in and, you know. So then, Vaishyas could, you know, but they generally, you know, don't. Their main would be the Asura, like that. And so then, the first four, those are considered brahminical. You know, so everybody uses those. Does that make sense? It means they're all, the father arranges, you know, a proper suitor, or the father, while performing yajna, then comes across a proper suitor. He made no endeavor, but he found one. Or the girl makes the endeavor and finds the suitor. Or the boy comes forward and then asks for her hand. Right? So that's in the order of what they're considered good. But they're all good. But each the former one's better than the other. You know, in other words, if the father made the effort, that's better than if he just happened upon. You know? And which is better than if the girl, they can't arrange and the girl has to do it herself. Which is better than if the boy arranges it. Right? So those four are all bona fide. Right? They're all considered proper. And so everybody will be using within these. But you have four that are outside of this, that are not considered very so good. You know, so Gandharva, which is the modern thing where they just find each other, you know. Like that, the Asura, where then they it goes the other way, they pay money to get the girl, you know. Rather than the father is giving dowry for it, because then it's with the girl, because the other one, it just goes to the family. Like that. Then you have the Rakshasa, which is mentioned here, where they come in, and she's supposed to marry someone else, but you kidnap her, and then you marry her. And then Paisach means if she's, you know, how you say, unaware, unconscious, and then you take her away. Like that. So that's in other words, the Rakshasa marriage is what Rakshasas use. It's their standard marriage. They like a girl, they just take her away. Like that, you know. So that's just how it works. The Yasuras, they just come in, flash money, and hey, you know, and then like that. So, but in human society, they're not used. Means in Kali Yuga, you shouldn't use any of these four. Like that. So you can only use the first four. In the other ages, you can use them, but the Asura and the Paisach, those are never recommended to use. You know? And so then the Gandharva and the Rakshasa could be used in the other ages, but in Kali Yuga, they're not supposed to be used. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Also, in the past tense, when we see that somebody who is righteous doing the Rakshasa, it actually comes in the third category where the lady, like for Rukmini herself.
I mean, it's always a combination, because even if they kidnap the girl by Rakshasa, they'll still have a Brahma, right? You know, it's like Subhadra, she was kidnapped by Arjuna. Then they invite him back, and then they do the Brahma wedding. So it's just a combination, it's just how you start it. It means they're connected because of that. So they're connected just because of mutual interest and sense gratification, or because of paying money, or kidnapping, or, you know, the girl doesn't even know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So those aren't recommended, because the first four, everybody's conscious. Yeah. Does that make sense?
And Gandharva seems to be both unconscious.
Yes. But there's this idea that they're so conscious. Yes. But they're not recommended in Kali Yuga. So kings could use it before, but they don't. Yes?
In the ashram, in Iskon nowadays, girls have the right to choose. Iskon should be the marriage. Is it more close to the principle of Svanavara or more close to the principle of Gandharva?
Means what is it? Brahma, Daiva, Prajapatya is the girl one. It's called Prajapatya. Like that. If they have a big ceremony like that and all the boys come, you know, all the princes come and then the girl chooses and all that, that's called Swayambar. She's just sitting there in the temple and looking around, that's not Swayambar. You know what I'm saying? You know, can call it as, oh, my daughter's so qualified, we're having Swayambar. So then you've worked it out, all the parents are cool and all that, then it's a matter of which one she'll choose, you know. You know, so it has more ceremony to it. You know, because it's used by the Kshatriyas, so it's very formal, like that. So this thing where they're just looking around. Now, the thing is it's like this. If she finds someone, the parents aren't finding, and she finds someone, she tells the parents, and then they arrange it, that's called Prajapatya. If she finds someone, and the next thing they're off on some rooftop somewhere, that's called Gandharva. You understand? That's the difference. Because the point is, the first four, the family's making the arrangements. Though it's just who's initiating it. Is it a specific endeavor? It comes by chance. The girls made the endeavor, or the boys made the endeavor. But in any case, the girls' parents, then they agree with it, and the arrangements are made, and the marriage is happening at their place. Does that make sense? So that's there. Gandharva just means boy meets girl and, you know, Hari Bol. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Simple.
So in other words, in the modern terms, that would be the, how you say, the rom-com vibaha? No? No? Okay.
Why it's not considered first class when the initiative comes from the boys' side?
When it's not.
When it is. Why it's not first class?
It's within all the first class marriages, but it's the fourth level of the first class marriages. Because it's like this, then which is going to be a stronger relationship? The girl is interested in the boy, or the boy is interested in the girl?
The girl and the boy.
So that's why those three are better. Because it works out, it can with time develop, but it doesn't have the strength of the one because he's interested in her. Therefore, then, you know, it's dependent upon that. It makes it weaker. It's nice because he's attracted to her, and that any girl will appreciate. But the point is that means she's already in control. So the first thing, then she's always trying to gain that control. Even though she has it, but it's always that constant, ongoing thing. But if it's arranged from there, then she never has to make that endeavor. So it won't be quite as strong.
The doubt is that as a man, it's in a position of an aggressive principle, so he's the...
Yes, but that means it's attractive to the girl, but the point is it's attractive because... And why is it attractive to the girl? Not because it's him. It's because that means she's important.
Yeah.
But that means she's already in control. And once you're in control, what's the fun? You know, it's like you get the cat, you know, it has the mouse, you know, this, that, lets it go, lets it run, then catches it again, then lets it go, then it gets it, like, yeah. There's a science there. But the point is it's still bona fide because the boy is qualified, the family appreciates that, and then the arrangements are made. That's the whole point, is that in these first four, it's about the qualifications of the two parties. In the next one, in the last four, it doesn't necessarily have to have that there. It can have. You know, like Shakuntala and... Who was the king?
Dushyanta.
Then they're very qualified.
I was telling Dushmanta.
Dushmanta. He's saying Dushyanta. Dushmanta and Bhagavatam. And where is the other one coming?
No.
Okay. So he's qualified, he's the emperor. And she's the daughter of a sage and a Gandharva. You know, so she's very qualified. She's actually half Devata. So they're both qualified. But the arrangement is just because they mutually agree. So in other ages, because they were so qualified, they would be interested in someone else with that qualification so they could make it work. Does that make sense? Even though the attraction may be based on sense gratification. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. Then in the Asura, then you're dealing with prestige or this or that, or you know, you're trying to impress the girl's family with money and all that kind of thing. So, you know, it's not going to be... It's used. It's nowadays it's very popular. Like that. Yeah. But I think officially, I'm not sure. I think in the Muslims, that's their main one is the Asura.
Gypsies also.
Yeah. So it's not that it's not used. It's used a lot. Like you even see with, what was her name? Madri. When Bhishma arranged that wedding, you know, for Pandu. Then that marriage, even though it has that form, though, even though it's still, you have to interact and talk like that. So they still you had to give a big, means for their girls, you had to give a big, you had to give a lot of money. You know, you had to show pride. So, in other words, they had a standard. Our girls are of this standard, only someone of that standard. So, therefore, only if they can give that kind of money, then we'll even talk. You know? But it was about going and interacting and all that. So, it was kind of a mix. And Bhishma, when he came there, and he asked for the girl, and they said, you know, who and this and that, and they were all impressed, but they said, but we have a tradition. So he says, yeah, I've come prepared. And so then they were suitably impressed, so then Madri went back and married Pandu. Because I think in that kind of wedding, the marriage may be happening at the boy's place. Like that. You don't get so much idea that happened there. Like that. Also in the kidnapping, it happened either place, so...
Yes. So in the first four categories, it's all arranged by the parents. It's not between boy and the girl.
No, the girl may give. You know, the girl may have her choice. The boy may have his choice, but still the parents are arranging it. So it's still within authority and all that. So that's why the first two is just by the parents. And the second two, then the kids are involved, but it still works because the parents are there. So why one may say, oh, but love, this, that. But the point is marriage, you're combining two families. And so it has to be that the families will match. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. That's why the last four aren't recommended at all, because it means in this age, because it doesn't consider that. And so the first four, they're considering how the families will get along. Because you can say, oh, it's just the two of us. But somehow or another, two turns into three and it keeps going. So when it's three, now who takes care? Right? So when there's families, then, you know, there's people there. You have that. The kid doesn't grow up just with one parent or in daycare. You know, they grow up with so many relatives, so they become very strong. You know, when they grow up on their own, they don't become so strong. Does that make sense? You know, unless it's, you know, strong in a, you know, kind of a villainous, criminal kind of way, that they might become, you know, like I say, how you say, Scarface was quite powerful, like that, but, so that's the whole thing, is that it's a bigger thing. In other words, marriage means two families are coming together. That's the connection. And then in that, they have the support for, instead of having just support of one, now you have the support of two families. Does that make sense? That's the whole idea. So that's why it's stronger, because it develops more relationships. Since it's about relationship, then the first four would develop the relationships. Well, if you just come in and pay money, then that's all the more. You might have, but it'll be a little superficial. It'll be more of a crocodile grin family reunion. The Rakshasa, you know, you come in, kill everybody, and walk off with a girl. You know, it might not be, they might not be as inspired like that. Like that. Boy and girl just meet and all that. It has nothing to do with the family at all. And then the Paisach, you know, it doesn't even have anything to do with the girl. It's just the guy, you know. So it's the least of them. Is that something? Yeah. So that's the consideration because of relationships. So, you know, because people can say what they want, and the modern thing is basically use Gandharva, but it's still only how well is that working out in marriage? You know, 20-25% last. So it's not that good of a system. Right. So it's not that, no, well, that, you know, I choose myself, that'll make it good. Says you have to know what to choose. That's why in the other ages they could use Gandharva, because they themselves were trained and qualified, and they would only be attracted to someone else who was trained and qualified. Right? Does that make sense? Because they'd move in their own circles and things like that. So they wouldn't bump into anybody that wasn't from their circle.
They're more aware.
They know what's involved. They know what's so. Therefore, they can commit to the duties. Well, here is just somehow another magic is just supposed to happen. You know, just by magic they were attracted. So by magic it'll hold together. It's kind of like, yeah.
First two words are.
Said because the father makes the endeavor in the first one. In the Brahma, he's making the endeavor, going out, looking, finding, meeting the families. In the Daiva, he's, let's say, performing a yajna at his house, the priest that comes like that, then he sees the good qualities of the priest, so he asks if he would, you know, then he arranges. So it's come, but he didn't put in that effort. Does that make sense? Because you're talking father-daughter here. Father's supposed to put in effort for things for the daughter. Right? So there's more effort in the one than in the other. So that means there's going to be effort in all of them, but it's the most effort in the first one. Then it's just a little bit less than that in the second one. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
In India, the Brahma marriage was so popular 100 years ago that it becomes, to be groom becomes a profession. And
Bridegroom becomes a profession.
To be groom, it was a profession. And one person, Srila Prabhupada told, he was married on 80 women, and parents of this girl paid to him money because only they wanted that.
The money.
They arranged marriage for their daughter, and this person was agreed to marry to them. I mean, the deviation also possible in Brahma.
Well, this deviation is possible in anything. I mean, so you're trying to eat, and it ends up on your lap. You know, so it's like deviation can happen anywhere. But just because deviation happens doesn't mean we say, it's not because the kids can't eat properly, therefore we give up on eating. Right? Does that make sense? So the whole point is there's a standard, and that's what you look out for. Because the point is the dowry is about the girl. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays it's been interpreted that it belongs to the boy's family, but it doesn't. It's the girl's. Like that. It's what the father gives for the girl's marriage, and so it'll be used in that, but that's for the interaction between her and her husband. But it's technically it's hers. Like when we see when Devaki was married, then Vasudeva gave 2,000 maidservants. They're her maidservants, not his maidservants. You understand? But she's using them in the family, in the interaction with her husband. Does that make sense? So it should be understood. So just like they take it by birth, they're Brahmins, so they just take it that the dowry is theirs. It's there to help and support and use in that way. But it's still, it would be controlled by the girl. Anything that the girl owns is hers. The men don't. That's how you say it? That's how the equality works. What's hers is hers, and what's his is hers. You know, and therefore it's all equal. You have to know how the system works. You know? Like the girls nowadays don't know that, so they're trying to get, but it's already theirs. But.
In contemporary culture and in Eastern countries, Rakshas or not, Rakshas and Asura marriage existed. But I never heard in history that Kshatriya marriage applied in human society. Does it mean it only for God?
It's how the ghosts arrange their marriages. But it's not that it doesn't happen, but no one takes it very seriously. I mean, generally in the Western culture, the translation of paisach would be having gone to a one night stand after having gone to a bar and you wake up in the morning in someone's house. That's called paisach. The girl's intoxicated, doesn't know what's going on. Like that. That's paisach. But it generally ends up as then he disappears, she disappears, so that they don't get any farther than that. But the ghosts, then they just stay married for their whole life. But that's how it started out. You know, so for them, you know, having gone to that particular nightclub, that was, you know, it's very romantic because that's where they met. So it's for ghosts, that one. Does that make sense? So people in the mode of ignorance, they get into that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
No.
No.
We call that the Cosby wedding.
Cosby. Oh, really? Is this called that?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, you also have, I guess, where you have a mix between a Gandharva and then the arrangement of the father. Well, I mean, you'd have to say it would be a Gandharva and then, yeah, and then the father accepting that and then the arrangement by that, the wedding happening. At least they call it a shotgun wedding. Shotgun means the girl's pregnant, and so then the father goes and gets the boy, brings the priest, and then stands there with a shotgun that he doesn't run away until the priest has married them. Once they're married, now he's family, and then they put away the shotgun.
They do that in Bihar.
They do that in Bihar. Okay.
It's not even if they find an educated boy, they kidnap him and then marry him.
Oh, so they kidnap, but it's the other way around. They kidnap the boy. Okay.
Go and get married. So it's always told, if you're educated, then don't go into the village. Be careful.
Okay.
That's a reverse Rakshas.
Yes, a reverse Rakshas. Well, that's impressive, that one. Okay. But this one, at least the American, it's generally the girl is pregnant, so then that's the consideration.
They're just trying to make an honest man out of it.
Yeah, yeah, just trying to make an honest man out of him. Yes, like that. And then the father put away the shotgun. But then if you harass his sister, the brother will get out the shotgun again. So, you know, father won't shoot you, but brother will. That's Jharkhand, okay. Okay, so I mean, that's the forest, the jungle. Jharkhand, that's far out. Okay. Wait, Jharkhand used to be part of Bihar?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I mean, I thought it was part of Bengal, but it's part of Bihar, okay.
Also, I was watching one serial on Mahabharata. So then the whole episode of Amba.
You were eating cereal and watching Mahabharata?
Mahabharata cereal.
Series.
Oh,
series. I was going to say, they have a cereal? I mean, what shape is it?
You know? Yeah,
little Duryodhana and things like that.
Like the
So in the episode of
You know, the Pandavas ones are all crunchy, but the, you know, they say the Duryodhana's brothers are all soft and soggy. And like that.
That sort of anger with Bhishma there, the whole
yes.
scenario. Then when Amba comes and tells that, no, he's not going to accept me, Shalya is not going to accept me, so you have to marry.
Right.
Then he says that, no, I will come and explain him the situation.
Okay.
Then she replies, in a marriage, girl gets her adhikar, and she doesn't get charity. Nobody should, it's like I'm not a piece of, you go and talk to him. I want my adhikar. I'm not going to. So it's touchy stubborn on that.
Okay, yeah.
Angle.
Yeah. So she's stubborn on that, and Bhishma because of his vow. So then we end up with Shikhandi. Yeah, so that's the whole thing. Kshatriyas, you know, it's like they're in their own category. Yes.
Example of Aniruddha being kidnapped by Usha's friend Chitralekha. That is an example of
Kshatriya. Oh, yeah, he's being kidnapped, but it's more as the arrangement, the girl's arrangement. That would be more of, what do you call it? That the girl's interested. So it'd be that aspect. And then, you know. But because she, you know, her friend's a mystic yogi, so. Because they just bring him there, and then he's cool. You know. So it's a, these are the eight positions, and then they might be combined, whatever, but it's just all. You know, it's just like, let's say we have some overcooked, crunchy, dinky puris with holes in them, right? And we put some chopped masala and some yogurt on it. So what do we have? They're not round, they're flat. Yeah. No? Papri, no? Yeah. Then if you do the same thing but with aloo, then it's an aloo chaat. What if you put the two together? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so the point is this, it's just that you have these things that you can do, and then they may be put together in so many different ways. But generally, sticking to the more clear one makes it work a little easier. You know. Because you have to remember, she's Banasura, right? So then, you know, they have their own methods. Like that. You know, I mean, the most fun is the, what do you call it? Maya Bazaar, that one. That's the most fun way.
Gatojkat, again.
Huh? Yes.
Everybody was in the care of Gatojkat.
Yeah. But that was, the boy was interested, and then they went out. But then... And then I'm not sure. I think the girl. How did the girl get interested?
From before they were interested, but
They were interested. Okay.
And Lord Krishna is also interested. It's Balaram's.
Balaram's not interested.
Balaram's wife.
Sorry.
At least in the movie, it was Balaram's wife who was not interested.
Not interested.
This is the pramana now.
Yes. Okay. Now we have the authority.
Authorized movies.
Yes.
Movie chakshush.
Yeah, no, it's an old sense. Old one, that one.
The pramana is the folk stories. That's the pramana for this story. It's not mentioned in either Mahabharata or anywhere.
No, because it's something you only see in South. So it's Aniruddha and?
It's Abhimanyu and Shashireka.
Abhimanyu and Shashireka. So does that mean this is just another time, or even this time he was married to Shashireka and to Uttara?
Should be this time.
Oh, okay. Because you don't, like you said, you don't hear anything about that. But it's definitely a good story. Gave the conclusion, and now we'll move on to it happens. Yes. Yeah, oh, yes. Different one of the bhavas, yeah. 2.4.170. Chapalya arising from hatred. May the flute, which loosens the cords, tying the clothing of the beautiful women, enter the ocean on the waves of the Jamuna. Srila Prabhupada, one of the gopis said, may Krishna's sweet flute be washed away by the waves of the Jamuna. Let it fall into the ocean. The sweet sound of that flute is so impudent that it makes us lose all composure before our superiors. 2.4.171. So you can see is that even though they're seemingly bad qualities, in the context of Krishna and love for Krishna, they come out to be some very nice qualities. You know, how they're manifest and how they do. So it's only in the material world these don't come out very good. Okay. 2.4.171. Suspension of external awareness arising from pondering, lack of energy, natural tendency, and fatigue is called nidra or sleep. In this state, rubbing the limbs, yawning, inaction, heavy breathing, and closing the eyes occur. Nidra arising from worry. When the sun turned red at sunset, and she did not hear the sound of the flute, Jashoda entered a state of nidra, being afflicted by excessive pondering the situation. Srila Prabhupada, dizziness. Every evening at sunset, Krishna used to return from the pasturing ground where he herded cows. Sometimes when Mother Jashoda could not hear the sweet vibration of his flute, she would become very anxious, and because of this she would feel dizzy. Thus, dizziness caused by anxiety and ecstatic love for Krishna is also possible. 2.4.173. Nidra arising from lack of energy. When Jashoda tied up Krishna, she was unable to move her body. She became dizzy, rubbing her limbs. She entered a state of nidra. Srila Prabhupada. When Jashoda had tied Krishna up one time, she began to think, Krishna's body is so soft and delicate. How could I have tied him with rope? Thinking this, her brain became puzzled and she felt dizziness. 2.4.174. Nidra arising from natural urge. O killer of Aga, look, having extinguished all fears by thinking of your exploits, the coward men have given up locking their doors and sleep at night in the yards of their houses without moving their limbs. Srila Prabhupada. The gopis were advised by the superiors to bolt the doors at night, but they were so carefree that they did not carry out this order very rigidly. Sometimes, by thinking of Krishna, they became so confident of being out of all danger that they would lie down at night in the courtyards of their houses. This is an instance of dizziness and ecstatic love due to natural affection for Krishna. 2.4.175. Nidra arising from fatigue. Vishaka, tinged with the colors of Krishna's cosmetics, tired after enjoyment, is sleeping on the chest of Krishna. 2.4.176. The state previous to extinguishing of consciousness, in which there is the appearance of Krishna without particular pastimes, is called nidra for the devotees. Right? So that's the meaning of it. It's called nidra. It's not talking about the deep sleep or this losing consciousness or that. Because they don't technically lose consciousness. They're always absorbed in Krishna. Otherwise, how does the ecstatic symptom continue? Right? So it just means that there's that dizziness and all that from all these different aspects, you know, pondering or exhaustion or just naturally that attraction, maybe not worrying about things or that. And so that creates a dizziness, because when there's dizziness, you want to lay down and like that, and sleep, right? Like that. Srila Prabhupada, it may be questioned why devotees of Krishna should be attacked by dizziness, which is usually considered a sign of the mode of ignorance. To answer this question, Srila Jiva Goswami has said that the devotees of Lord Krishna are always transcendental to all the modes of material nature. When they feel dizziness or go to sleep, they are not considered to be sleeping under the modes of nature, but are accepted as being in a trance of devotional service. There is an authoritative statement in the Garuda Puran about mystic yogis who are under the direct shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Quote, in all three stages of the consciousness, namely wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep, the devotees are absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in their complete absorption of thought of Krishna, they do not sleep. Right? So, we even see here that's happening. Yes?
Yeah,
Maharaj, is it the reason for which, like, many times it's questioned why if something has to be told to a devotee, Lord acquiesces in a dream and tells it. Because here it said that Nidra is appearance of Krishna without particular past tense. Because of being present like that, it will doesn't disturb that particular relationship and they are engaged to it.
Means the dream. No, it's just one nice way of arranging it. Like that. Because then he'll come and say things like this. Because it says not any particular pastime, so it could be anything, whatever they're absorbed in. You know. So then, yeah.
How do we understand the Yoga Nidra of Mahavishnu?
How do we understand the Yoga Nidra of Mahavishnu? Meaning, what does that have to do with this one?
It hasn't has to. This is the bhavas, but then that Nidra is also...
But he's always doing that, so that's kind of like a sty bhava for him. You know, I'm just saying it's just his pastime. He's always, because in sleeping, because the point is the creation, as we see in the Bhagavatam, is telling time. So starting from time from the atom, then up to Brahma's time. So that's considered, means even if you just know from the blinking of an eye up to Brahma's time, that's considered knowledge. That's knowing time. But Bhagavatam takes it down to the time, about atomic time. So it's even taking beyond. And then going beyond Brahma's time by then showing how that compares Brahma's life with Mahavishnu. And so Brahma's life, that whole thing is 3/4 of a second. So Brahma is one, you know, what is it? 311 trillion years is actually 3/4 of a second to Mahavishnu. So it's not that, you know, there's a creation, then he goes, does something, then comes back. He just breathes out, it happens, he breathes in, it's done. And that happens within 3/4 of a second. So he's just always there in Yoga Nidra. So it's not something to compare to here. But in that, then he's so all the creation, everything's going on in his dream state. So that means creating the universe is not that big of a deal because Krishna can do it while he's asleep. You know, we say someone's so good at it, he can do it in his sleep. Krishna actually does. Right? So that's the. Yeah? Yeah. Jiva Goswami. Nidra has been described as absence of external consciousness. This is normally the state of consciousness under the influence of the mode of ignorance, which is not possible for the highest devotee, since their consciousness is beyond the modes of nature. Why then do they have this state of Nidra? This verse answers, this state of Nidra is a state of concentration on the Lord found in the highest devotees of Krishna. It is not a material state of sleep. This is a state beyond the modes. The Garuda Purana says, all the states of mind, waking, sleeping, and dreaming of the practicing yogi take shelter of Achyuta. Right, so these are all taking shelter of Achyuta. So if you've taken shelter of Achyuta, you're always absorbed in the Lord in any of these three states. Thus, the state previous to extinguishing external consciousness in which there is a vision of Krishna is called Nidra. Not simply extinguishing consciousness. So that's what they're pointing out. So then we're looking at sleeping, because we'll say, you know, but sleeping, Nidra is sleeping. But here Prabhupada's pointing out dizziness, because it's the state just before you would go to what we would call sleep. Because the dizzy means the particular absorption in Krishna. You know, the anxiety and this and that, that then is causing dizziness. The dizziness is then causing, you know, then to one go into the sleeping condition. Right? So it's more important to understand this, because if we say dizziness, you think of consciousness. If we say sleep, you think of no consciousness. So the point is they're always conscious. So dizziness, you know, gives a clear idea. But it's called Nidra. Right? Means as a Vyabhichari Bhava. 241.77. Sleep in which there are various thoughts and an experience of objects is called shupti, or dreaming. In this state, there is absence of the functioning of the external senses, heavy breathing and closing the eyes. So that's the next one. Okay, sleep, nidra, and then dreaming. Oh, okay. Yeah. And the last one, enlightenment. Bodha. Okay. 24178. An example. Baladev astonished the assembly of Yanus and made them laugh when he went to sleep. We haven't read what? You sure?
Yeah.
We read? An example. Baladev astonished the assembly of Yadus and made them laugh when he went to sleep. While breathing heavily and heaving his belly, he exclaimed in a dream state, O lotus-eyed Krishna, you have magnificently manifested your wealth of childhood pastimes by powerfully crushing the intolerable pride of Kaliya, king of the snakes. Srila Prabhupada. Sleepiness. Once Lord Baladev began to talk in his sleep as follows. O lotus-eyed Krishna, your childhood adventures are manifest simply according to your own will. Therefore, please immediately dispose of the stubborn pride of this Kaliya serpent. By saying this, Lord Baladev astonished the assembly of the Yadus and made them laugh for some time. Then, yawning so hard as to make ripples in his abdomen, Lord Baladev, the bear of the plow, returned to his deep sleep. This is an instance of sleepiness in ecstatic love. Jiva Goswami. Kali Vitatihi means extent of pastimes. Another suitable alternative version is Kalir Abhita, pastimes which are everywhere. Kali is sometimes seen in the feminine form, as in Umapati Dhara's poem quoted in Padyavali 371. He astonished those Yadu members who had entered the inner chamber of the assembly hall, Yadu Shabham, and made them laugh. Right? So this wasn't just everybody, it was the 24179. Enlightenment or appearance of knowledge caused by destruction of ignorance, destruction of moha, and destruction of sleep is called bodha. 24180. Bodha arising from destruction of ignorance. Enlightenment occurs after the appearance of knowledge, which occurs after removal of ignorance. This enlightenment consists of realizing one's identity with Brahman, which destroys unlimited suffering. Right, so the point is, unless you remove the ignorance, then you can't get the appearance of knowledge, which then will then bring about the enlightenment. So that's why we see is by getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then receiving Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, we give up the attachment to the material world. Then that brings us to understand the nature of the Holy Dham. Then in that state, by getting the mercy of the Goswamis, then we can appreciate Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Does that make sense? So that means you have this aspect where ignorance is going, then you come to a higher state. So ignorance means this whole material absorption and attachment.
So
now
Nityananda Prabhu's mercy is the first one?
Yes. But it's by Lord Chaitanya's mercy that you get Lord Nityananda's mercy. By grace of Krishna, you get grace of Guru. By grace of Guru, one gets Krishna.
Yes. Like that.
Jiva Goswami. In this verse, Bodha means knowledge of self and the Supreme Lord, and knowledge of the non-difference of the two, which is called Vidya. The sadhana for realization of these three items consists of Nididhyasana, or contemplation. After contemplation, there is destruction of avidya, and then knowledge of the two. Finally, there is knowledge of the non-difference of the two. The Bodha, which arises from destruction of ignorance, avidya, dvamsata, comes after pura sara, the appearance of knowledge, vidyodaya. In this Bodha, there is destruction of unlimited kleshas and realization of non-difference, sarupa vagamam. Vagama. The word adi indicates that there is realization of bhakti as well in the state of bodha, right? Because otherwise, why would it be in this position? Because others might have some aspect of this, but it's not the real thing. Like here, you have all these different centuries and that, and elements of rasa all function here in this world, but they don't give the transcendental, experience that they do when it's in relation to Krishna. So here is that, that means it's going to bring about, be in context of bhakti as well. So in that case, then you understand the what do you call it? Realizing means you see yourself on the transcendental platform, like Krishna's transcendental and your transcendental. Right? So you see that, and then you see the difference, and then how you as a servant are serving Krishna in a particular way.
So,
yes. In this Bodha, there's, the word adi indicates there's realization as bhakti as well in the state of Bodha. This type of Bodha is an assistant to bhakti for some persons, and therefore is considered of Vyavichari Bhava. This is the meaning of the verse Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma in the Gita 18:54. So then, by this, then for many, then this is a step, you know, a stepping stone in their devotion to Krishna. It says for some persons. Because it's not necessarily that this has to be the method how it works. You know?
Maybe it's for the Shanta Bhaktis.
Yes, the Shanta Bhaktis would be specifically. But in any case, their ignorance will be removed. You'll have an understanding of Krishna by Krishna's grace, and then one will start to understand one's relationship as a servant of Krishna. So that aspect will be there. But whether one, you know, tastes this as a Vyavichari or not, that's another thing. No, nididhyasana is contemplation, means that you're fully absorbed in that. Does that make sense? In this way, it means the other one, you're contemplating how to apply it, how to, I did this, that worked, that this didn't work, you know, how we could do. But here it means the value is what's being contemplated. This one is the technique, manana means your technique is contemplated. Nididhyasana means the value is a constant contemplation. 24181. Another example. Just like in Shravana means you're contemplating whether you understand it or not, removing doubts. So you just have to see. Yeah. Realizing my sarup of eternity and knowledge after attaining the lamp of knowledge without obstacle, I will now search for the Supreme Brahman personified, composed of concentrated bliss. So that was another example. Okay, destruction of ignorance. 14182. A Bodha arising from destruction of moha. When moha is destroyed by the sound, fragrance, touch, and taste of the Lord, there is Bodha. In this state, the eyes are open, hairs stand on end, and there's rising from the ground. Srila Prabhupada. Alertness. A devotee once stated, I have already conquered the mode of ignorance, and I am now on the platform of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I shall be engaged only in searching after the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is an interest of alertness and ecstatic love. Transcendental alertness is possible when the illusory condition is completely overcome. At that stage, when in contact with any reaction of material elements, such as sound, smell, touch, or taste, the devotee realizes the transcendental presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this condition, the ecstatic symptoms, in other words, standing, e.g. is for example, right? Standing of the hair on the body, rolling of the eyeballs, getting up from sleep, are persistently visible. Does that make sense? So one is you're getting rid of ignorance, or the other you're getting rid of illusion. So then you get rid of ignorance, then you see, okay, who I am, who's the Lord in the relationship. Getting rid of illusion, then you don't see anything separate from the Lord. So even the engagement of the senses, you see that it's the potency of Krishna that's making it work. So you just remember Krishna. There's no sense gratification. 24183. Well, here's another where it shifted. Is it another one where it shifted? Bodha from destruction of moha, arising from sound of the Lord. All of Radha's sense stopped functioning, moha, due to the bliss generated from first seeing Krishna. Then, when Lalita uttered the names of Krishna in her ear, she opened her eyes.
So it makes sense there too, because she lost consciousness.
Okay.
Shifted over.
Yes, and then So, oh, I see again. Like, okay.
Because the first one was the doubt. And then
okay.
The
moha. Okay, so there's a pattern here. So the Vyavichari Bhavas are having influence on the verses themselves. Srila Prabhupada, when Srimati Radharani first saw Krishna, she suddenly became conscious of all transcendental happiness, when the functions of her different limbs were stunned. When Lalita, her constant companion, whispered into her ear the holy name of Krishna, Radharani immediately opened her eyes wide. This is an instance of alertness caused by hearing the sound of Krishna's name. Right? So does that make sense? So here is that you have the one is that you're removing the ignorance and all that. And the other then where we see is that the moha itself, then it's already an ecstatic symptom that's caused like being a stunned effect. Right? They haven't gone beyond that. But it's that stage just before that they, seem to go completely internal consciousness. So it's just they're there and they're not functioning. So then here is that, then it goes out, that alertness comes up when then they come in contact with something in connection with Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So we can see is that both is, you don't see anything separate from Krishna. And then we see is also within the pastimes is that same, is, that's the origin of the principle. Does that make any sense? Or? Yeah?
Not at that stage, any thing with, like, you can see like a detail, and sound means invoked.
Yes, it means you have the aspect where nothing, engagement of the senses, you don't see anything separate from Krishna.
Yes.
That's one aspect. The other aspect then here is that in that state of ecstasy that manifests as moha, then if you come in contact with something, the senses in contact with Krishna, as Bhagavan rather than as Vibhutis, then it creates that alertness. Either one, it creates alertness because you're coming in contact with Krishna. It's just a matter of whether it's what level it's coming on. So if we're in that beginning, like we see the ignorance is going and this and that, then it's coming because of the Brahman aspect or Paramatma aspect or an understanding of the Bhagavan. So it's an understanding, but here it's then here we see with Radharani, it's just that direct connection with Krishna. Like that, but through sound. So it removes moha.
Arjuna can't approach the Bhagavad Gita, so I heard everything. Now my moha has gone, and my smriti has come back. Now I lack according to your instruction.
Yes. So again, an example of hearing, because he went into the state where he couldn't even function. So that's basically moha.
Another place after this tadbhiti pranipatena verse, approaching guru. The next verse says, what is the benefit of approaching Guru? When you get that knowledge, your illusion will be gone and you see everything as a part and parcel of Krishna.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the evidence for... Yeah. Very good. Nice. 2.4.184. Arising from smell. When Krishna once disappeared from the presence of Radha, she lost control of her limbs, lost her color, and lost her breath. She fell on the forest earth. When the fragrance of Krishna's forest garland spread in all directions, Radha's hair stood on end by smelling the fragrance. And look, she rose from the earth. Srila Prabhupada. One day, in a joking mood, Krishna informed Radharani, "My dear Radharani, I am going to give up your company." Upon saying this, he immediately disappeared. Because of this, Radharani became so afflicted that the hue of her body changed and she immediately fell down upon the ground of Vrindavan. She had practically stopped breathing. But when she smelled the flavor of the flowers on the ground, she awoke in ecstasy and got up. This is an instance of transcendental alertness caused by smelling. So must be the flowers on the ground of Krishna's. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.